Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Lots happening. I love God. I got a lot to cover, so we're going to jump right in. I'm excited about his presence. And boy, every single time we get to a chance to experience it, it never gets old. I never get tired of it. I never get callous by it or to it. Never familiar with it. It's any time I can walk in a space and we can sense an eternal, everlasting, all-powerful God. How many of you know there's an awe that should be connected to that? Yeah. And boy, we're in a season where I'm just sensing God so strong in what he's doing in us. And I know in me personally, in us as a staff, as a church. I said this last week. I'll set up real quick because I want to do a quick review. Pastor Richard and Gail are blessed. They are now entering the next level of their rest. And it takes them, honestly, the reason why they go away for a month is because it takes that long to unwind and then kind of find grace and spaces. So they're doing really well. They prayed, by the way, I didn't say this last week. They were also, the first week, they were praying for your requests. And we just want to make sure that we keep that in front of you, because every single thing that we have seen on those cards, we've been taking to God on your behalf and believing that he's going to meet you at your place of faith. Amen. The other thing is, so a couple things. We got a busy church, and an active church is a good church. And we don't just do stuff just to be doing stuff, because we all got things to do. But the things that we do, we're very intentional about. And we wanted to share something with you, because there's been a move of God in this last season. There was some great things that happened a couple years ago. But now God is stirring the hearts of young people all over the campuses of America. I don't know if y'all realize that God is doing a work in that generation. And I'm so grateful for it. We always, as we have Promotion Sunday coming up, we encourage our young people, go the next step, get your next levels of education, go and be world changers through those things. But God is moving in those places. And so, just so you know, we have decided to move our baptism. Some of you thought that it was today, and we decided to shift it. Here's why. Because on June the 8th is what is known also as Pentecost Sunday. And some of you may not know this, but there has been a move across America called Baptize America. So on May the 3rd, it was said that there was up to 20,000 people in attendance and over 7,000 people were baptized in California at the same time. Come on, I think God, you ought to give him praise for that. It said over 7,000 people were baptized. And at that service, they had Cody Karn. Some of you guys will know him. They had Carrie Job. They had Bethel Worship. And there's just this move that's happening all over the globe, all of the U.S. specifically, but on the West Coast. And so we decided that this move called Baptize America, we wanted to be a part of. So on June the 8th, Pentecost Sunday, we have a guest speaker by the name of Pastor Andy Elms. He's from Portsmouth, England. And he's going to be with us that day. But here's your job, your assignment. Your assignment is to get a hold of as many people as you possibly can who need to be baptized. Get your loved ones. Get your unsaved friends, get your schoolmates who are y'all now graduating or in summer vacation, get your bosses, get your coworkers, as many people. This is our opportunity to minister to people, to witness to people, and to draw them to this big day. So we as a church are one of the locations across the United States that's going to be registered. So people can come here on that Sunday if they want. Isn't that cool? Like, we're joining this movement. And Of all the things that I do, I love a lot of stuff that we get a chance to do, but baptisms is one of my absolute favorites. Now, I don't get in the water anymore. We got a great team of guys that does that, but I love being able to hear the stories of these people whose lives are being transformed. The young people across the campuses have been saying they just really want a sense of getting rid of all the goop and washing away their dirt, their filth, their all the stuff, and being able to come up in the newness of Christ. How many of you know we should be a part of something like that? Come on. Yes, 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 yes. So that's June the 8th. If you were planning on being baptized today, you get a chance to be with that group of people on June the 8th. And then the last thing I want to cover is simply this. God's presence, I said it as we started, is the reason why we do what we do. And I know that seems simple, but when we tap into his presence with him being here, his purposes, all of those things are where we really find the true definition, as we're talking about this month, of success. So with that being said, Father, we welcome you. You've already been here. We've already sensed your glory and your grace. And now I ask you to speak through this vessel, this servant, and let the hearts of the people be impacted by your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, all right, amen. All right, so way of quick review, we are going to see if we can get some more meat off the bone in Joshua. Now, I like that phrase. And I didn't realize that that phrase, meat off the bone, comes from some old school stuff. I didn't realize that the stuff that we grew up eating, pig feet, pig ears, hog maw, chitlins. Anybody eat chitlins? No. Right now, did you know that oxtail is one of the most expensive meats that you can get? Do you realize that back in the day, they just used every part of the animal? That wasn't a delicacy. That was just, that was scraps. That was stuff you did because you was broke and you had to eat an oxtail. Now you're spending $30 for a pound of oxtail. So we're going to see if we can get some more meat off the bone in Joshua. Smile. It didn't hurt. All right, so Joshua chapter 1, we're finishing up. It says this. It says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I'm going to break this stuff down for you this morning, so as I stop, you can give me your eyeballs. But you got to understand that biblically, there is a principle, and the principle is that there are often types and shadows from the Old Testament that reflect the New Testament, okay? So you'll find in different places throughout Scripture, there'll be something in the Old Testament that's very similar to what you see in the New Testament. We find here that this story of Joshua is very similar to this. If you look up the definition, Joshua's name means, in the Hebrew, it is Yehoshua. Yehoshua is Joshua's name, but what his name really means is Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. Why is that significant? Because if Joshua is a foreshadowing or a picture or an allegory of something that happens in the New Testament, we're talking about basically Joshua is a type of, now he's not a God, he's not Jesus, but we understand that Joshua is a type of picture of what Jesus would be in the New Testament. Does that make sense? And so if Joshua was following Moses, Moses was a picture of the law. We know that he went to the mountain, got the Ten Commandments, all the things that his ways were about keeping the law, point after point, step upon step, line upon line. But then we also know if Moses is the law keeper, then Joshua is the one that's coming to bring liberty. This is important. And it's important because the very first part of this scripture in Joshua, it says Moses is dead. In other words, the law can't keep you anymore. The stuff that you've gone through, some of the things that you've walked out, what the passage of Scripture is basically saying, the old way of doing what we did doesn't work anymore. So God's wanting to send you a Joshua, a Yahweh is salvation, so that you can move into the fullnesses of God's promises. That's what success is. We're defining success. So he says here, in Joshua chapter 1, it says, therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, Joshua, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I'm giving them. And I promise you what I promised Moses. And this is what we're going to dig into the rest of the day. Wherever you set foot, it's very specific. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land that I have given to you. And it goes on and it describes the Negev wilderness, the south of Lebanon, mountains north from the Euphrates rivers to the east of the Mediterranean Sea. It talks about the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Verse 5 says, and no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, because I will be with you as I was with Moses. And I will not, I love this promise, I will not fail and I will not abandon you. So Moses is dead. The old way of doing what we did or do is dead. And he's given us an opportunity now to step into this Yahweh is salvation, new season, new opportunities, new vision. This is us, again, redefining success. So watch the next verse, verse 6. He says, be strong and courageous, because you're the one who will lead the people to possess all the land that I swore. Somebody say all the land.
All.
Say it again. Say all the land.
All
the land that I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. He says, man, you got to be strong, because you're about to go through some stuff. Be strong. Be courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning to the either right or the left. Then you will be successful. We talked about that last week. Study the book continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything in it. Only then will you prosper. The New King James Version says, and you will have good success. Okay, why is this important? Because God promises Joshua, he said, every place that you set your feet, I'm going to give to you, right? You saw that in Scripture? Every place that you put your feet is where I'm giving to you. I looked this up. So he's talking about from the north to the south, to the east, to the west. He says, wherever you can see your feet landing, it's in those places that I've given you victory, not the other stuff. What I found out is that Joshua and the children of Israel, when they moved into their promised Canaan land, do you know that they possessed 30,000 square miles of land? It was 30,000 square miles of land that they were able to ultimately possess. I looked it up and I found out that 30,000 square miles of land is about the equivalent to the size of the state of Maine. I've never been to Maine. Matter of fact, I'm going to Maine this summer. I have a sister who lives in Maine. I've heard about Maine. She sent me lobster from Maine. Oh my God. Ooh. Every time that UPS shows up with that dry ice, it's like I go to heaven, Lord God. So she sends me fresh lobster from Maine, and I've never been to Maine, and I can't wait to go to Maine. But that's about 30,000 square miles of footage. What we find out in this passage is that the area that ultimately God had promised Joshua and the children of Israel, from the north to the south to the east to the west, was actually 300,000 square miles of property. Now track with me. They got a tenth of the promise. They got part of it. It seemed great, but some of the stuff that they were ultimately able to possess, they never took a hold of. And this is why I'm so passionate about it, because I watch it all the time. It's great for you to have salvation. I'm glad that you have insurance from hell. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful that you are part of a church and in this body and all the things. But how many of you know, as much as I'm excited about Maine, what I found out, that 300,000 square miles is the equivalent to the state of Texas. Yeah. So what you find out, if you've ever heard, I've heard driving through Texas takes you a full day just to get through the state. I've heard that everything is bigger in Texas. You heard that? So God bless Maine. I can't wait to go see my sister. But how many of you know, if you have the option between Maine promises and Texas promises, which promises are you going to take? Right? So this is what the passage says. And I thought, wow, that completely to me describes the believer's walk so many times. We get a portion of God's promises, but we don't walk into the fullness of it. I said last week, a part of defining success, I said that one of the greatest thieves of true success is having unrealistic expectations instead of God-sized expectations. If you're a note taker, today's message is called God-sized expectations. Yes. So the good news is I wasn't giving us an excuse to live less than by saying you got to keep unrealistic expectations away from you. I'm telling you that the God-sized expectations are the things that we get to lean our lives into. I'm telling you, it's not hypey stuff. This is the word of the Lord, the promises of heaven, that there are things in front of us. Thank God for Maine. I want Texas. Verse 1 Verse 5, I'll read it again. It says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will not fail or abandon you. As you move down in through the passage, what we find out is that Joshua comes toward the end of his life. So we're cutting from, I'm doing a lot of information, but we started when he was 20. He went through the wilderness with Moses for 40 years. When we get to him in these verses, he's 60 years old and he's about to now start moving into his promises. We see the things that his life has consisted of. We watch him go through the good and the bad. If you have a chance, please go back and read the book of Joshua. It is like a movie. There's amazing stuff that happens in there. I would imagine some of these filmmakers are about to probably do a version of it. So many things that happen. But when we get to Joshua chapter 23, it says this. This is Joshua's farewell address. This is basically his will and testament. And Joshua says in chapter 23, verse 14, he says, now, 23 verse 14, now I am going away the way of all the earth. You know in all your hearts and souls that not a single word has failed out of all the good things that the Lord your God has said concerning to you. Now, verse 14 is basically Joshua saying, I'm about to die. Earlier on, we saw Moses is dead. Now, in this passage, Joshua says, I'm about to die. This is the last thing that I want you guys to take a hold of when we are talking about this concept of success. He says, now I'm about to go the way of the earth. And knowing all your hearts and souls that not a single word has failed. You want success? You want to know what it looks like? We're going to continue in. But it said here at the end of his life, not a single word that God has promised him had failed. Out of all the good things that the Lord your God has said concerning you, all came true. Not a single word among them failed. Chapter 24, verse 13. And we're going somewhere. It says, I gave you land that you had not worked on. And I gave you towns that you did not build. The towns where you are now living. I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Can I say it again? fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. At the end of his life, he could say, after at this point in the passage, he's now about 110 years old. And he said, if I got to leave something to the people that I've been around, if I got to leave you with one final nugget, I'm going to tell you, fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols and ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River to Egypt. Serve the Lord alone, verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you now live? Here's what I love this passage. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. True success. The first thing you need to see about it is that true success is always bigger than you thought it was going to be. I'm going to say it again. If what you're believing God for and you're asking and standing on, you can do in your own strength and your own resources and your own ability and your own knowledge and your own connections and your own whatever. I can tell you absolutely by the word of God, God's vision and picture of success for you is bigger than you can imagine. Take a hold of that. It's bigger than what our little brains can just get around. It's bigger than kind of what we picture or how we feel like we can make it happen. God's purposes for us are bigger. His success, the expectations of heaven is bigger than we thought. Thank God for the 30,000 square miles, but I want the 300,000 square miles. Thank God he let us experience some things. But God, as long as there's breath in my lungs, I want all that you have for me. The second part, and this is where I really hope this connects to your hearts today. The second part of defining success is simply this. Destroy the idols. Destroy the idols and make God the center of everything in your life. I'm going to read that verse one more time, verse 14. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away from forever the idols of your ancestors' worship when they lived beyond the Euphrates River, and serve the Lord alone. Can I tell you, one of the biggest things that I'm learning is that it's really easy to make idols of good things. Do you know that? It's easy to make an idol of a family that you've been believing God for, or children that you stood in faith for, or a job that you went to school and got your, you know, undergrad and master's and doctorate or whatever. It's easy to make an idol of those things. It's easy to make an idol of what we see as natural success. But Joshua defines it again. He says, the reason why I'm successful is because I have wholeheartedly served the Lord. Because I took all of the stuff that the world was telling me I should be going after. You should be pursuing this. You should be finding out this. You should be reaching for that. With men, we are creatures of it. We want to have purpose. We want to know the why behind our what. That's why we're built that way. We want to know what. Why am I here? What's the reason that God put us on the earth for? We want to know. There's something intrinsic inside of us that wants to know these things. All I can tell you is you got to put God first. And when you get it, it can't become an idol to you. We have to be careful about the stuff that God allows us to obtain and to possess, because very easily. So Joshua says, hey, get away from all the idols and the gods that your forefathers served, and serve ye the Lord this day, whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I tell you, there is no greater or higher calling than for you and your household to serve the Lord. We see it all the time. I'm sure Pastor Tristan can tell you story after story after story where households got so busy with life and running our kids around and putting them in every event and having all the stuff that's more important than the house of God. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the only thing that's going to matter was your relationship with God. I know it's not deep, but I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over again. The only thing that at the end of the day, so Joshua's saying, hey, don't make an idol of these things. You can have them. You can possess your land. You can get your promises. You can step into the fullness of God, but don't let those things become an idol. I saw it up close and personal firsthand. Crazy. I just got it. I got a DM a couple days ago. It wasn't that type of DM, by the way. Somebody was all up in my DMs. I got a DM from somebody that I grew up with as a kid. Knew him when I was a teenager, preteen, all the things. He sent me a DM and he said, I saw you on Netflix, Untold Swamp Kings. I hope they listened to you, Lindsay, because what you had to say, because you lived what you say. Always have, and I loved to see it. Random. Out of nowhere. I don't even check my DMs very much. I don't go into my messenger and all the stuff half the time. I got a random note from this dude from 30-something years ago in Iowa who happened to see 30 seconds of me on Netflix. For which I didn't get no money, by the way. Nobody told me. They didn't ask me. I didn't have to sign a contract or nothing. But he said, I saw you on Netflix on the thing Swamp Kings from the Gator stuff. And I'm like, God, can I get away from the Gator thing? It's 20 years ago and it keeps coming back full circle. So for those of you who don't know, for the 100th time that I've told the story, I worked with the Florida Gators. I was their football pastor chaplain for 3 years when we were really good. Right? When we won games, when we were must-see TV, when people flocked to get to the part of it. And I'm thinking, I want to get away from it. And God said, what are you talking about? That's your 300,000 acres or miles. What are you talking about running away from that? So this guy texts me and he says, hey, thank you for living the life and doing it in front of you, in front of me. Thank you for being faithful. Here's what he didn't know. What he didn't know is that we spent a whole year working, going through the stuff, finding beating teams and traveling all over the globe. We did all the stuff, right? We got to the national championship game. We won the national championship game. When people ask me, why do you wear this big gaudy ring? This is the reminder that God can do the impossible. It's a national championship Florida Gators ring that was not given to me. It was earned, amen. Because I was the dude that they called at 3 o'clock in the morning when they were in trouble. Pastor Lindsay, can you help? So what my friend didn't know is that literally we finished the game, we celebrate in the locker room, yoo-hoo, way-hoo. We get back to the bus, and half of the coaching staff had to get on another airplane to start recruiting the next morning. In other words, they didn't get to celebrate what they'd worked all their season for. They didn't get a chance to really enjoy the moment that they spent this time and this effort and this energy for. What you also didn't get to see behind the scenes, so many of those relationships were broken. So many of them struggled. So many of them had the types of problems that I can't explain here on a platform. So many of those coaches were frustrated and tired, and they worked 60, 70 hours a week, and they were fighting a machine. And they were having all the pressure of the entire state of Florida on their shoulders. You got somebody like Tim Tebow who's running things. There was so much, I can't tell you the type of pressure that those guys would feel. When I would be on the sidelines, I would literally be, and if you're not familiar with this, God bless you, but I would be praying in the spirit the whole time. Because my stomach would be on edge because of the pressure. And you get done with it, you win the highest calling, the highest prize, and you don't even get a chance to stop and celebrate. Is that success? Is that what we're spending all of our lives and our energy and our time and our money and our whatever for? And the moments that were the most impactful, the moments that were the most impactful, church, was when I could be in a locker room or be in a space where we would do chapels and just have an acoustic guitar in front of all these athletes who liked, you know, who loved rap and all the vile, vulgar stuff you could think about. And I think about, I'm watching this series, David, where Saul would call David in to soothe the demons in him. And I think about the time being able to look in some of those coaches who had never really known God and didn't have God's presence. That the moments that were the most fulfilling to them wasn't a national championship ring. It was a moment being in the presence of God. All the stuff you think you want, I'm telling you, it doesn't satisfy. If God is not in the center of what you are pursuing and striving for, that ain't success. If God's not right smack dab in the middle of your educational goals, your relational goals, your financial goals, the stuff that you're going after, I've gotten a chance to see it. I saw both sides of it. I remember coach had me come to his house because he said, I want you to do what you do at our chapels. I want you to do it at my house. And it was a summer afternoon and I walked into, he had this big tent on his property. And I guarantee you the man spent probably $50,000, $60,000 to throw this party. And it's beautiful, and it's all these people that are coming in, and it's this big king crab, and you know, the hooks, it had all, like a whole bowl of that, Chris. I was like, that bowl alone had to be a few thousand dollars. So I walk in, and I don't know what it's about. So I'm walking in. I got some cut-off shorts on. I'm wearing some jorts. Jorts with the stuff on the bottom. I got some dang slides on. Ankles was probably ashy. I don't know. I didn't know. I just walked in. I'm just doing this thing because he said, I want you to do what you do at the thing and come and do the thing. So I get up. I'm in this room, right? Here's what I'm telling you. God's dreams are bigger than yours. Not the 300 or the 30,000, it's the 300,000. So I'm in this room, I'm sitting at a table next to a dude who had been my friend. He kind of helped me. He did a lot of the behind the scenes press stuff. And I said, hey man, they're about to call me up to sing my song on my acoustic guitar with no microphone, ashy feet and jorts. And I said, who are these people? And he's like, well, hey, look over at that table. He's at that table. He's the president of Coca-Cola. See that table right there? Microsoft. See those people back there? That guy right there? Disney. All of a sudden, I'm a little more nervous about not feeling like I belong. And I'm telling you, all the stuff doesn't matter. I got to walk into an atmosphere that I had no business being in and usher in the presence of God. just like I do for hopefully for you every Sunday. And I started to look around the room at the executives and the CEOs and all the people and stuff, and got to see them be moved by the presence of God. Because all your money doesn't get you. If you look at the end of your life, I looked up Warren Buffett. I looked up Paul the Apostle. I looked up different people who have said, I've run the race, I've finished the race, right? It wasn't about stuff. Paul's greatest joy was the fact that he was going to be able to take people with him on the journey of faith. I actually didn't plan on telling these stories today, but you know how we do. True success is keeping God in the middle. Right in the center. And it's bigger than you thought it was. The last thing, and this is the same thing that I said last week. Part of you walking out your true success, don't quit. Hey, don't quit. Don't stop. When stuff is pressing you and you're under pressure and there's all kinds of reasons for you to feel like you want to back off, don't quit. Don't you dare stop. Can I tell you, as we are looking through these prayer requests, I'm seeing infertility. I've seen miscarriages. I've seen people in this room who are dealing with law and suits and the judicial system. We've seen in these prayer requests people who are desperately fighting for their marriages. We've seen in these prayer requests some of you who are trying to get broken free from depression, alcoholism, bondage, suicidal things. In these prayer requests, we're watching people. We're hearing your hearts. I want to make sure you're hearing this. We're hearing your hearts. We are believing for you. We are standing in faith for you. But when I tell you that success is making sure that you put God right smack dab in the center, because all the other stuff, that you make him your centrifugal force, right? Everything revolves around him being right in the middle. Everything revolves around him being right in the middle. Your jobs, your opportunities. There's many of you who are transitioning in your jobs right now. Several of you. And you're trying to figure out what's next. What's success for me? I can tell you what it is. Put God in the center. You think I thought I was going to be the chaplain for the Florida Gators as a kid from Sioux City, Iowa? That wasn't even in my wildest dreams. Like, I never imagined it. I didn't hope for it, dream it, wish it, think it was possible. I don't know how it happened. All I know is somehow I was able to put God right in the middle. I'm telling you, young people, you want to know what's next for you? Put God in the middle. Serve him with all your heart. Find a way to lean in his purpose for you. Find a way to lock into God. You're bigger than I can imagine, and I want the 300,000 acres. I want it for my family. I want it for my health. Oh, God, I want the promises. I don't want just the stuff. I just want you. I sense him in this room again. And I got to tell you, man, been all over my heart for the last little bit for Lipe. Cool name. Even cooler look. And I'm telling you, God has a purpose for you. Come here. Play for me, please, Brandon. Play the last song, please. Oh, you can stay down there. No, come up here. Give me a hug, man. Do you know what God has for you, or are you still figuring it out? Look at this dude. All the stuff. Probably been told that a lot. It might have gotten you in trouble some, I would imagine. But I'm telling you, bigger than the 30,000 acres, there's the 300,000. And I don't know how I got here. I literally don't know. But I do know that putting God right in the center and revolving my world around him is the best thing that you can do to find your success. Come on. Yeah. This guy can sing. Like, I didn't know he could sing. He jumped in the choir and he kind of was hidden in the back. I was like, yo, this boy can sing. He's an athletic trainer, right? He helped me stretch out my back before Easter a little bit in the back. I like picking on people in a good way. Is that all right? Give me your hand. He said, it's perfect. Can we pray for Felipe? Thank you, Jesus, for your purpose. Thank you, God, that every distraction from hell, every assignment, every strategy of the enemy to pull him away from your things, God, we break now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that just a simple moment of being able to cover him and to believe for his destiny, his purpose. God, I'm asking you today that you would help to define for him what success actually looks like. I ask you, God, to let your spirit remain with him all the days of his life. I ask you to help him to lean into you, Lord, like never before in this next season of his life. I ask you now, God, to make clear, visible, plain, without confusion, God, what it is that you have for him. Lord, I thank you that as he gets rid of the idols, the things of the past, as he gets rid of the foreign gods, I thank you, God, that you will speak to him and you will show him how to obtain the fullness of his inheritance. Pray it over you now, Felipe. May this stick in Jesus' name. May you never waver to the right or the left. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you, man. God, I'm late. You're good. Thank you. I gotta quit. Shoot. You all right? Telling somebody before service, I'm so comfortable in these awkward pauses. It's the sweet space. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. I have you dead to my line of sight this whole service, ma'am. And I'm going to leave you alone. If you want me to. Do you want me to leave you alone? Which way? She's frozen. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody over here gave me a big, like, don't do it. You ever heard of prophetic? That's all this is. It's not weird. We just have to go because time is getting long. But oh, I sense his presence. Just want you, Jesus. Just want you, Jesus. He knows what he has for you. Just be fretting. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's just pray. Lord, thank you for today. Gotta call it quits. Thank you, God, for who you are and what you do in these rooms and in these moments. And I don't know. I don't know if I was articulate as I wanted to be about sharing success. But Lord, I pray that these people understand it's not in stuff and things. You want us to obtain it and enjoy it. But God, more than anything, I just want you and nothing else. Nothing else will do. Thank you, Jesus. I can't finish the service without giving you a chance with your heads bowed, eyes closed, real quick. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never accepted him, if you've never had the on-ramp to building a relationship with him, I don't have a lot of time. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. If that's you in the room, if that's you, I see you. I see you. That's why we're here. Anybody else? If you don't know Jesus, this is your on-ramp. This is your day, my friend. Everybody pray this with me. Jesus, thank you for showing me true success. True success is knowing you and putting you at the center of my life. Take away my sins, make me new, and I promise to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. I'm sorry, I'm long. Ah!
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.